Thank you for listening to this message from Valley Bible Fellowship. It is our sincere prayer that you're richly blessed through the ministry of the Word. For more information about VBF, visit our website at vbf.org. Now, here's Pastor Ron Bietti.
Good morning. It's called social spacing. We spaced you out. Nobody's cough can reach you. You're okay. Little boy went to his mother one day. Said, Mom, where did we come from? She said, well, son, we came from God. Told him the story of Adam and Eve and how we came from God. Little boy turned around, went to his dad who was in the study and said, Dad, where'd we come from? He said, well, we came from monkeys and chimpanzees and gorillas. And explained a little bit of the evolution thing. So the little boy went over to his mother and said, Mother, you lied to me. Said, Dad said, we came from monkeys and chimpanzees and gorillas. And she said, well, Dad was just telling you about his side of the family, son. Father God, bless what we're going to talk about. Lord, we're thanking you for all of our online audience out there. We're thanking you, Lord, for all our other campuses. We love Northwest, Cal State, Tehachapi, and all the others, Vegas. So anoint the message today and let your spirit be stronger than the man, we ask in Jesus' name. Everybody say amen. Now today let's talk about, obviously, what's going on in the world. We want to be current here. We are experiencing something that the most of us in our generation has never experienced, and we don't know quite how to respond. Some of the younger people in society today, they're going, whoopee, man, free travel. Let's book our vacations. We can fly to Greece for $200. And up until a few days ago, they were still booking cruises. That's a no-brainer. And so they're excited. And some of the older people, they're hunkering down. They're saying, hey, you know, we're not going anywhere. Someone, I can't believe they named this thing the Boomer Remover. That's wrong. That's really wrong. Some joke about the virus. Other people are taking it overly serious. And we do have a problem. I don't think that I'm taking it overly lightly. But one guy even said, I was standing in a long line at Walmart the other day, and I had to get home. I was in a rush. So he said, I just started coughing. And I said, man, this cough has got worse since I got back from China. And he said, the whole line was gone. I was right up in front, and I got out of there on time. I thought about using that when I was in the gym the other day and a girl was on her phone and wouldn't get off my machine. I thought, that might work. And then there's the fake news. You all know about the fake news? I mean, it's just, it really bothers me. Do you understand that a lot of these news shows and Entertainment Tonight or whatever, all these shows, they really need to sensationalize stuff to get an audience. And it was kind of ironic because the other day, I was watching TV, I got something to eat, and one of these shows came on and said, you know, Tom Hanks and his wife now is the coronavirus, and their kids are just so worried about them. And then Debbie said, I'm reading a magazine right now, and it says their kids aren't worried about them at all. They said it's just affecting them like a cold. And you don't know who to believe. You go, but you understand, in order for some of these shows to get an audience, they have to sensationalize stuff. And they're not doing us any good at all by doing that. And then I was so mad last week, as some of you saw on social media. I was busy doing some manual labor in Vegas. I was working real hard. And somebody that really, really has a lot of influence in my life, and this person, I mean, they fact check. They're really cool. And they said, hey, there's some latest information out on the coronavirus. I said, oh, really? Cool. Then post it on my Facebook page. And they did, and I found out it wasn't right. And it just made me so angry, going, I'm part of the problem now. So we have a lot of questions, but we don't have a lot of answers. Have you noticed we'll hear one thing one day, and then in 2 weeks or a week, they'll change it. You know, this virus can live on hard objects for this length of time, and the next week they change it all. You know, we've got questions. How's this going to affect our world? How's it going to affect our economy? How's it going to affect our kids? The answer is we just don't know. Are we going to have hundreds die in California or thousands die in California or millions? We don't know. Are we going to be part of the 81% who have mild symptoms like a cold? Or are we going to be a part of the 1% that dies from it? Will the hot weather kill the virus? Some thinks it will, some thinks it won't. I mean, if the hot weather's going to kill the virus, then we're living in the right place, Bakersfield. Last summer, I had a lizard run off with my sunscreen. He was so messed up because of this heat. We just don't know what to believe. Lots of questions. Do you keep the church open? Do you close it? I heard of one person close to me today, and they live in another part of the country. They had their church open today, and they got blasted. People were really upset at them. I mean, answer me one question. I think it's only fair. It makes me kind of angry because I heard a news person say the other day, at least they were hinting at this, don't close the movie theaters because it'll hurt the economy, but close the church. And I go, hold on just a second. I don't worship the economy. I worship the God of the economy. And if you're not going to close the theaters, then why should we close? We're doing the 250 thing. We're doing that too. I'm not saying we won't. We don't know. We're going week from week. If it gets bad in Kern County and the mayor gets up and says, I want you to do it, we'll comply. We're not going to be a rebel. But as of today, Canyon Hills is meeting, Valley Baptist meeting, we're meeting. We all had a meeting at Canyon Hills the other day. We had a church meeting, and we decided that we were going to stay open. You know why? Because Bakersfield's part of the Bible Belt, man. But we won't. We will comply. I don't want that message out there. We're watching from week to week. I mean, there's a lot of questions. Should we shake hands, bump fists? We'll shake hands for sure. But do we even bump fists? Do we buy more chicken noodle soup? Do we go to Costco at 2 a.m. to line up? I don't know. And then we have the snake oil salesmen. I mean, there's a televangelist who got, he's getting sued by the state of Missouri, I believe, because he said, I have the cure to coronavirus. He said, this stuff will cure it in 12 hours. And so they blasted him, they're suing him. But the ironic part is, what he was selling, he shouldn't have been selling it. He can't say it'll cure coronavirus. We don't know what will. But the ironic part is, the stuff he was selling, I really believe in. I really believe in it. And in fact, I got a bunch in my cabinet. And so we get all these things out there. No one should say they have the cure. We don't know what the cure is. I'll talk more about that in a moment. If we did, we would put it out there. But what makes me mad is somebody's selling vitamins, they're doing all this stuff. And then the government comes out and says, you know what, that has not been proven to cure anything. That has not been proven. It hasn't been proven because you've never tested it. You've never bothered to test it. And then they say, and that product right there, if you take that, that can have bad effects on your health. It can turn you blue. Yeah, if you drink 2 gallons of it, you're supposed to take a teaspoon of it. I mean, you don't know what to believe. And I get very aggravated. And my wife has to calm my Italian down. We don't know. Will it turn out bad or will it turn out to be not very much for us? I don't know. Maybe it'll be like this story of this construction worker who was working on a high-rise building project, and because they had a time limit, they were having to work at dark. And this construction worker was up pretty high one day, and he was busy working, and he did something, and he lost his balance. And he fell over the edge, and as he fell over the edge, he was able to grab a hold of the edge of that wall. And he was hanging there, and he was praying and asking God to help him, and he didn't know what to do. It was pitch dark. And so he started crying out, help me, help me, help me. And because of all of the construction machinery that was going, they couldn't hear him. And he hung there for a minute, 2 minutes, and pretty soon his arms started throbbing, and they tired out, and he could feel his fingertips sliding off of the edge of the wall. And it wasn't long until he just knew he was dead. And so with a loud cry of horror, he let go. And he dropped a whole 3 inches to a scaffolding that had been put there in the dark, that was there the whole time. And he said, it was then I realized that I had never really been in any danger to begin with. I hope that's the way it turns out for us. I hope time will tell. Now, what I want to do, and I'm going to kind of watch the clock here, I want to use the life of a guy in the Old Testament named Joseph. And I want to use him as a reference point to show us how to navigate through crisis situations. We'll put something on the screen here. Have you ever seen one of these? How many's ever seen one of these? These are called autostereograms. In the 1990s, they were around all of our malls, shopping malls. They'd be out in the middle on display. And what it is, I can do it. I don't know if you can. But if you stare at that, and I kind of go cross-eyed and relax my eyes, and my two eyes have to work together, all of a sudden, boom, a 3D image pops out. Look at that and try it for just 10. Just look at it, kind of cross your eyes, relax your eyes, and all of a sudden, boom. Anybody see it? Raise your hand if you did. One. Anybody else? Two. Three. Four, five, six. Yeah, some of you are seeing it. It pops out. And you go, oh my gosh, that's so cool. The rest of you are going, you're crazy. That's just a bunch of dots. No, it isn't. That is like the coolest 3D image you've ever seen. But your eyeballs have to work together. You have to change the way you're looking at it. Now, some people say you need to get real close to the image, you need to back off, and both your eyes need to work together. And all of a sudden, you see something nobody else sees. I remember we used to take the family, and Pastor Jim could never see it. He could never see it. And he'd get so frustrated. But only one person in our family, basically me, I could see him. And I'd go, whoa, look at that one. That was really cool. They all say, you're crazy. There's nothing there. I said, oh, there is. That is so cool. So I always couldn't wait for another one because I liked it. What's your point, Ron? Joseph seemed to look at life through a different lens than most other people. He saw stuff they didn't see. And most people who really walk with God, they see stuff that other people don't see. Other people go, you're crazy, it's not there. Oh, yes, it is, yes, it is, yes, it is. Joseph was God-focused. Now look at these two verses right here, they tell us a lot. Genesis 45, 8, 9. Joseph is saying, now therefore, it was not you who sent me here, but God. See, his brother is sold to some foreigners, and that's how he got where he's at. But he says, it wasn't you. It was God. And he has made me a father to Pharaoh. How many of you have never seen that before? That Joseph was older, and Pharaoh was like an adopted son. Pharaoh liked this old guy. And Pharaoh made me lord of his household and rule over all the land of Egypt. Now, that's Joseph. Where's verse 9? Hurry and go to my father and say to him, thus says your son Joseph, God has made me the Lord of all Egypt. So come down to me and do not delay. That tells you a lot about his life right there. Look at Genesis 50 and 20. As for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good in order to bring about this present result to preserve many people's lives. Did you see his focus? He sees God in everything. Most people wouldn't, but he did. He said, God's in this. Now, people think I'm odd because I see God in so much stuff. I'm always looking for him, and I go, see God in that? Woo! And they go, really? I say, oh yeah, he's there. Right now, as we're in a 5 to 10 year succession plan, you're gonna see the young pastors up here more and more. The younger pastors are gonna be pastoring, and they're doing a fabulous job, fabulous job. I can't believe the anointing on Josh and Shane, man, that just an anointing. And so that leaves me with a couple Sundays off a month, and I'm not used to that. But something's been transpiring, and I've been telling you, there's something I gotta do. And Texas keeps coming up, and I don't even know what this is about. I know that I have been discipling a lot of pastors in Texas through the years, and I'm an elder on the board in Austin, Texas of another church. But I have a burden for there, and don't get me wrong, I'm not leaving Bakersfield. I will be here probably till I die in some role. If the younger pastors let me remain in a role, I will stay in a role and I'll still be speaking to you. But some do it Texas. And so the other day, it was so funny. I can't get it off my mind. I thought, Lord, I know I want to spread this gospel somewhere. And these are the very words to him. I want to spread the gospel to other places that don't know our type of gospel. And I start thinking, Arizona, I don't have a burden for Arizona. And I start thinking, my wife said, what about Santa Clarita? I said, I don't know if I have a burden for LA. I don't know. It's Texas. So Friday, I got really frustrated with God. I said, God, you're not hearing me. I know you're doing something. And although I'll never leave Bakersfield, I'll die there. I mean, I've got to have another outlet somewhere. And I want to start some other church. I don't know what I want to do. But I know I can't get Texas off my mind. I was praying. And so Friday morning, Pastor Rod and I talked two or three times about Texas. We were talking, just kind of, wow, that's cool. I'm thinking about Texas. You're from Texas. We're talking. And it's cool. And so then I went and I did my walk and I was still praying. God talked to me. And no joke. Now, this is the way it happened. I'm in my car coming back. And every once in a while, I'll turn on a country station. Every once in a while. And so I said, I'm going to turn on a country song. I want to hear a country song today. I turn my radio on. I only listened to one song. Only one. This is the song that was on when I turned the radio on. I turned it off. Now, think what I'm thinking. And look at the words, the lyrics of this song. God blessed Texas with his own hand, brought down angels from the promised land. God gave them a place where they could dance. If you want to see heaven, brother, here's your chance, because I've been sent to spread the message, God bless Texas. And I go, whoa. I said, that goosebumps on me. Now, you might not see God in that. I do. I go, whoa. So then I called another pastor. I said, you got to hear what happened. He's, man, can I pray with you? I got chill bumps. He says, that's crazy. I said, pray with me. And so he's praying with me. And he says, right now, when he got to this place, while he was praying, say with me, while he was praying. When he got to this place, he said, God, right now, you make it obvious to Pastor Ron that if you want him to disciple some pastors in Texas or do something, make it obvious. As he said that, beep, a message went off. As he was praying, and it was Pastor Benito from Austin, Texas, going, Pastor Ron, I just want to tell you I love you. I go, whoa, you know. So again, some people will go, you see God in that? I do. I choose to. That's the way I've lived for 45 years, and it's worked for me. Last time something like that happened years ago was Vegas. Now look at it today, 1,500 people over there. I mean, it's crazy. But I'm not leaving here, okay? So don't say Pastor Ron's leaving, at least not yet. No, I'm not going to. Let me give you a quick backdrop of the life of Joseph. For those of you that are new to the faith, he came from a large family. He had 10 older brothers. They became jealous of him. They sold him to some foreign people that were traveling through the land. That wasn't a nice thing to do. He lived in foster care. At least that's what we'll compare it to. Some of you have been. And he was falsely accused of rape when he was in one of the homes. He got thrown in prison. Basically, if you read this guy's life, it was one crisis to another crisis. But yet, he got through it with flying colors, and God blessed him. He kept finding God in all the crisis situations, and that's my point this morning. Can we find God in this current coronavirus situation? Yes, we can. He's there. With the time left, let me look at three characteristics of people who successfully go through crisis situations. And here's the first one. They focus on the promises and not the problem. See, obviously, Joseph, he focused on the promise and not the problem. See, let me tell you something. Whatever you focus on, you magnify. That's what you do. If you take a quarter and you focus on that and put it close to your eyes, you'll even blot out the whole sun. And so what we don't want to do, we don't want to focus on sickness and death and the economy, and you don't want to focus on the frustration of TV reruns. Focus on the Word of God. That's our major. And you'll have peace if you start focusing on the Word of God. Look at Psalms 41-5. It says, I waited and waited and waited for God. At last, oh, I love this. Does this ring a bell with you? Why does God do that? He has his own timing, doesn't he? At last he looked. Finally he listened. He lifted me out of the ditch and pulled me from the deep mud. He stood me up on a solid rock to make sure I wouldn't slip. He taught me how to sing the latest God song, a praise song to our God. More and more people are seeing this. They enter the mystery, abandoning themselves to God. Blessed are you who give yourself over to God. Turn your back on the world's sure thing. Ignore what the world worships. The world's a huge stockpile of God wonders and God thoughts. Nothing and no one comes close to you, God. I start talking about you, telling what I know, and I quickly run out of words. Neither numbers nor words account for you. Proverbs 18:10. The name of the Lord is a fortified tower. The righteous run to it, and they're what? What are they?
Safe.
They're safe. They run to it. Deuteronomy 31:6. Be strong and courageous, and do not be afraid or tremble at them. For the Lord your God is the one who goes with you. He will not fail you, nor will he forsake you. Now, look at the word fail in the Hebrew. To let drop. It says God will not let you drop. God will not leave you alone. God will not abandon you. God will not be lazy toward you. And it's also the act of ceasing from something. God will not stop messing with you because you're his kid. And then look at the Hebrew word for forsake. It's to separate oneself from another person. God has seen me through three cancers. He's helped us build multiple churches. He's given us over 100 God stories. And if he's done it in the past, he will not stop doing it in the future. That's what the word says. Look at Isaiah 26:3-4. People with their minds set on you, you keep completely whole. Now, wait. Who does he keep completely whole? People whose minds are set on you. You got to see the stipulation of the promise. They're steady on their feet because they keep at it and they don't quit. They depend upon God and keep at it because in the Lord God, you have a sure thing. You have a sure thing. Look at Isaiah 41:10. Don't panic. I'm with you. There's no need to fear, for I'm your God. I'll give you strength. I'll help you. I'll hold you steady, and I will keep a firm grip on you. That's our God. That's the problem. Focus on those. My wife was doing devotions the other day, and she says, Ron, it's crazy. Our daily devotional church guide has Romans 8 as a devotion today. I turned to Firestarters, your book, and today's devotion is Romans 8:28. And then I was watching a sermon, and in the middle, Debbie says, he just said Romans 8:28. I said, I know. God causes all things to work together for good. If we love him and are called according to his purpose. Stop magnifying the problem and magnify the promises. Okay? Number two, don't give in to a spirit of fear. A.W. Tozer said, a scared world needs a fearless church. Again, I think we need to be bold and audacious. We need to show the world. It was Caesar during a certain time in some of the Roman persecution. He said of the Christian church, he said, I don't get these people. They keep on loving. They keep on reaching out. They're not worried about themselves. It caught his attention. And that's exactly who we need to be. Look at 2 Timothy 1:7. It says, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but a power, love, and a sound mind. Now, obviously, Joseph didn't show a spirit of fear. Nowhere in Scripture do we see him doing anything that would denote he had a spirit of fear. He never was complaining. We don't see him griping, nothing. We don't see him expressing doubt. You know why Joseph never gave into a spirit of fear? He was so busy every moment of the day serving God wherever he was at. He didn't have time to look around and be bothered by certain. He was either interpreting dreams, praying for people, giving out prophetic words. Now, here's where I want to be balanced, church. There's a huge difference between giving in to a spirit of fear and being a logical person living with a lot of wisdom. It's a big difference. And stop judging one another. You have a spirit of fear. Well, not if you're using wisdom a lot. Let me give you an example. Debbie and I was in a little business project. We were doing something with our finances. And we stopped all of a sudden. And we go, because of the coronavirus and not knowing the domino effect, we're pulling out. We don't want to spend any money right now. That's smart. That's not a spirit of fear. That's just smart. I mean, we went out like everybody else. We bought a bunch of vitamins, a bunch of soup, dog food, toiletries, hand sanitizer, just in case there's a quarantine. I mean, obviously, that's not a spirit of fear. Don't even try to put that on me. That's just smart. That's just smart. Now, this leads me to my third point. Joseph had a plan. He had a plan. Say with me, he had a plan. Now, in chapter 41, Pharaoh has a dream. And he says, I was sleeping and I had this dream. And up from the Nile came seven cows, and they were sleek and fat. And then right after them, seven more cows came up from the Nile, and they were ugly and gaunt. And the ugly and gaunt cows ate up the seven sleek and fat cows. He said, then I went back to sleep, and I had a second dream. And there were seven ears of grain, and they were plump and good. And there were seven ears of grain that was thin and scorched. And the ears that were thin and scorched swallowed up the plump and good ears, swallowed them up. So Pharaoh says, man, this dream's bothering me. There's got to be a meaning to this. So he called all of his magicians and wise men in from the kingdom and said, interpret this dream for me. And they couldn't do it. But he had a cupbearer. And this cupbearer said, remember when I was in prison a while back? He said, there was this man. And everyone said of this man that there was a spirit of the divine gods in him. And this man, I had a dream and he interpreted it to me. Because he came to me and said, the dream's bothering you? He said, I know a God who has the interpretation to dreams. And he interpreted it for me, and his interpretation worked out to the T, and he's a man of God, and I'll bet we could get him to come here, and he'll interpret your dream for you. So he called for Joseph. And Joseph said, well, I'll go to God, and I'll find this interpretation. And he said, here's what it is. God told me, he showed me. There's going to be 7 years of great abundance upon the earth, and that'll be followed by 7 years of famine, very severe famine. So he says, if I may, let me tell you what you should do. He said, you need to find a very wise and discerning man and put him in charge of things. And then what you're to do is take 1/5 of all the produce that's being raised, take it and put it away every year, every year, every year during the good years. Put it away, put it away, put it away. So when the bad years come, you'll have something to draw off of. He said, but go find you a discerning and wise man. And Pharaoh goes, duh, you're him. Now, don't look for that in the Bible. It's not there, but that's my version. Now, see, there's a lot of Christians out there throwing all kinds of verses out. And I say, I'm proud of you. You know, you're throwing verses out there, man. You got them on the internet and you're quoting the word. And that's really, really cool. But just be careful. Don't be a bad student of the word. Not every promise in the Bible we can take. Some of them are for specific people at specific times, and some of you aren't exegeting the word properly. I'm glad you're doing it, but just make sure the verse fits, okay? I mean, I see people today saying, in this battle, you don't need to fight. And they take that as for every situation. That was in one battle. Some battles, you need to fight the daylights out of those things, man. Now, listen to me. Let me show you what I'm talking about. People are quoting verses, and that's good. Keep doing it. I'm proud of you. That's really cool. Quote the word again. Just make sure you have the right ones. Look at Exodus 15, 26. This is one of them. And he said, if you'll give earnest heed to the voice of the Lord your God and do what is right. Now wait, if you'll give earnest heed to the voice of the Lord. You know what this denotes? This is someone who's listening to the Lord, has learned how to hear his voice. And when he says move, you move. When he says don't, you know, you're very into the word of God. This is not just any Christian. This is somebody that hears God. So it says, if you give earnest heed to the voice of the Lord your God, and you do what is right in his sight, and you give ear to his commandments and keep all his statutes, then I'll put none of these diseases on you, which I put on the Egyptians, for I, the Lord, am your healer. Jehovah Rapha. Do you get what I'm saying? yeah, these verses have stipulations. But if you're walking with God and you're listening and you're going to the left, you're going to the right, then, hey, these diseases aren't going to come upon you, people of Israel. A lot of Christians aren't doing that. Some are, praise God. But we need a plan. Joseph did not say, well, you know what? Here's a verse. Just kick back and God will do it. I don't worry about anything. I'll just let God do it. Joseph wasn't that stupid. Do you hear what I said? He wasn't that stupid. God will take care of it. I just don't care. Just, man, I'll just quote my verses and go on. No, he had a plan. Say with me, he had a plan. God gave him a plan. Too many Christians are throwing their brains out at the door, man. Are you with me? Anybody with me? If you're not with me, then you're supposed to be here especially today because you better get with me. God never has honored laziness. He never has honored people to say, I'll kick back, let God do everything. God says, no, Holy Spirit's your helper. He's not your doer. Now, listen to me. This is really important. We need to have a plan. Make sure you have a 10-day supply of water and food and meds and vitamins and toiletries. In California especially, come on. The Bible says there will be earthquakes, it'll increase, and California's earthquake city, man, it's a state. You should be prepared at all times. You need to have a plan like Joseph. You should know where your gas meter's at, how to turn it off. I mean, come on. You should be stocked up with these things. And I think most of you are probably there. But what about a spiritual plan? I mean, this present dilemma has all kinds of open doors for ministry. Ho, ho, ho! But we need a plan. I've been trying to teach you, you've been left on this earth to make disciples of men. Hey, this is a great season right now. If we use it, let me give you some of the plans and then we're out of here. Number one, small groups. Now, as of now, we don't know if we're closing, going on, but there's a chance, if there's a lot of cases in Kern County, that next week we'll be doing internet services. There is a chance. Because if our mayor comes out and and they say, we're begging you to do it, then obviously we're going to work with them. We're not going to be a rebel if they really, but we'll see. We'll see. We don't know. But here's what I need. Some of you, bless your hearts, I love you to death, but you've sat in that pew long enough. It's time to get up and get involved in the game. And I need you to come out of your comfort zone and say, we will host a small group in our home of 10 people or so. See, I'm a UFC fan. And some people in the church say, you know, I don't like to get too involved because when I do, the devil really hammers on me. It's part of the game. If you want to get in the UFC and become a fighter, you better not mind getting hit in the face because you're going to get hit in the face. If you don't like getting hit in the face, then don't join up the UFC. Don't get in it because you're going to be hit in the face. And so I need some of you, quite a few of you, to meet me and Pastor Josh right back here in this section 5 minutes after the closed service. Say, hey, we are willing to open up our home to 8 or 10 people. So if we go live on the internet, you'll have 8 or 10 people. And guess what? You can invite your unsaved neighbors. How cool is this? And we'll tell you what to do. We'll tell you everything to do. Now, this is an opportunity that doesn't always come to us. If indeed we're going online, you tell your neighbors, that neighbors that will never go to a church, but they'll come over to your house and say, we're having jalapeno poppers, man, Sunday. And we got some sandwiches. And we're going to watch our service live. And then, well, I'll try that out. And they're going to get hooked. And it's going to be so cool. Get some videos for the kids and put them in the bedroom and watch online together. And afterwards have discussions. And your neighbors might say, I never knew about this. Or somebody in your group might say, man, I heard Pastor Josh say this today or Pastor Shane say this. And you go, well, I didn't hear that. That's cool. Iron sharpens iron. And you're praying for one another, getting to know one another. Relationships are developing. I guarantee you, as your pastor, if you'll listen to me and do this, you will come back and thank me. You say, but Ron, what about those people that stay for 3 hours? I know, that's the problem. Can't get them out of your house. You're fixing dinner and they'll say, well, I'll just stick around and eat with you. No, you won't. This thing is over. Well, there's always those people. That's part of the game. But that's okay. You can handle that. One lady said one time, you know, Pastor, I'd love to do it, but some of them smoke, and if they smoke in my house, I'll stink up my drapes. And would you rather have stinky drapes or rewards in heaven? Come on. And so meet me back there. Me and Pastor Josh, meet us back there. I'm telling you, you'll come back and you'll go, God is showing up at my house every Sunday. It's incredible. See, right now, I have a plan. I'm not changing any of my daily routines. I go to the gym every morning. I go to the mall. I shop. I go out and get groceries. Someone told me the other day, said, Pastor, you're still going to the gym? Yeah, I love it because there's not a lot of people in the machines. But I'm being careful. When I come in, I take all my gym clothes off right there in the laundry room and parade around. No, I don't. I take them off there, and I have some other clothes I put on there. And then my wife washes them. But somebody the other day said, Pastor Ron, you don't need to be doing this. You might have a compromised immune system because, you know, you've been through cancers. You're taking one medication. You got to be careful. Why would you do that? And I go, thank you for asking. Can I tell you about the Holy Spirit? Yeah, let's go have a coffee. Let's talk about the Holy Spirit. Look at Isaiah 30, 18 through 21. It says, therefore, the Lord longs to be gracious to you. And therefore, he waits on high to have compassion on you. For the Lord is a God of justice. How blessed are all those who long for him. O people in Zion, inhabitants in Jerusalem, you will weep no longer. He will surely be gracious to you at the sound of your cry. Wait, he will be gracious to you at the sound of your cry. Some of you are not weeping and crying out to God. If you cry out, he'll come to you. You're not bringing your problems to God. You're not praying through. And it says, when he hears it, he will answer you. Although the Lord has given you bread of privation and water of oppression, he, your teacher, will no longer hide himself, but your eyes will behold your teacher. Your ears will hear a word behind you. This is the way. Walk in it. Whenever you turn to the right or to the left, this is the way. Don't go there. Do go there. If I get the coronavirus, the Holy Spirit will tell me how to treat it. I'm convinced of that. If God was here, he'd say, Ron, let it be to you according to your faith. Yeah, I'm not worried. If I get it, then me and God's got to get together and whatever. It's time for some of you to start building up your immunity system. You're horrible with that. Praise God that this thing's come to get your attention. I mean, I don't know. I'm not a medical person, and I don't know for sure, but I heard some experts the other day, like it was a mystery. They said, we can't understand why it's affecting the older people more than the younger people. Well, I can. Their immunity system is not as strong, probably. I mean, do you understand the idea of free radicals and antioxidants? When you're eating junk food and you're eating fats and oils and preservatives and chemicals, that produces free radicals in your body. Free radicals cause disease and cancer. When you're eating processed food, all that stuff, when on the back of a product says it has added flavors, that can be all kinds of poisons. So your body, let's look at free radicals this way. Free radical is like the smoke of a campfire inside your organs. You get all this smoke. Free radicals cause all this smoke. All the chemicals and the fats and preservatives, they cause smoke all in here. And the smoke goes into your organs and causes cancer and disease. Antioxidants, they eat smoke. They eat it. So you get antioxidants in, they eat up the free radicals. They eat up all the smoke. The object is to have more antioxidants in your body than free radicals, and then you stay healthy. And some of you need to get this. Many believe that sugar, when you eat something sweet that has a lot of sugar, and the sugar levels in you spike, for 2 hours, your immune system pretty much shuts down. Doesn't work. Now, people that are eating sweets, three and four sugars, four or five times a day, their immune system quite possibly is not working for 10 hours a day. Now, when someone sick comes up to you, you're going to get it. Have you ever wondered? I've wondered. I look at work here and I see some people are sick all the time, sick all the time. Others don't get sick. It has to do with the sugars. But when I get a sweet tooth, you know what I do? I throw an apple and some blueberries and a banana in a blender. I blend it up because, see, there, fiber is involved with those fruits and it releases sugar on a very slow process because of the fiber. And it doesn't have the spikes. There's a reason we're getting sick right now with this virus. We need to have our immune system as strong as we can get it. Young people have strong immune systems. Praise God for you guys. But there's opportunities in this storm. When people ask me why I'm not afraid, I say, can I tell you about the Holy Spirit and Jesus? When people ask me, what if you get the virus? Can I tell you about the Holy Spirit and Jesus? When people ask me, why do you go to church with this virus out there? Let me tell you about the Holy Spirit and Jesus. I got all kinds of examples. Do I need to say more? Someone has said, I'm not shaking hands with people because of the coronavirus. I'm not shaking hands with people because there's a lack of toilet paper. See, the coronavirus has not bothered me. I'm not bothered about the coronavirus. I am bothered about running out of toilet paper. This virus does not scare me, but I'm going to be cautious. There's a balance. There's a balance, church. But let's squeeze a blessing out of this thing being that it's here. We can't change it. It's here. But people are running scared, and they're looking for a Christian church that's not scared. Your pastors are praying every week. We'll be praying all this week. Should we stay open? Should we close? I just pray that if they want us to close, then close the theaters too. I don't worship the God of the economy. I worship a God that's bigger than the economy. Now today, you are in sections less than 250 people. And you all have 7 foot around you. You got spaces. I think you're fine. But we're praying. We're seeking God. But one thing I'm determined about, I'm going to squeeze every blessing out of this time that I can squeeze out of it. And I'm not going to let demons exploit it. I'm not. Well, you know what? The church is going to lose people during this time. No, we're going to gain people. We're going to gain people. God started this church from a vision. He said, I want this church in Bakersfield, and there isn't anything that's going to stop this movement. We are bigger than the building. So if you can host a small group in your home, you meet me and Josh over here, Pastor Josh, just in at 5 minutes after the service, and let me pray this right here. Father God, I thank you that as your children, as aliens and ambassadors in this world, you're going to take care of us. But we're going to need to be balanced. We're going to need to have a plan. That's just smart. But we thank you that you're our God, and we're not alone in this. Our God, the creator of the heavens and the earth, is with us. Thank you. Today, if there's anybody listening to me on the internet, they're out there, they're here. Here's what I want to tell you to do. If you don't know the Lord as your personal Savior, if you've never been born again and asked the Holy Spirit to come and live in your body, then right now, wherever you're at, just all you have to do is say, God, I want to give my life to you today. Send the Holy Spirit. Come into my body. You can do it in your bathroom, your living room. And the minute you do, you receive the Holy Spirit. Start following Jesus. If you want people to pray with you, we got people up here. If you want to come up and you want to be prayed for, right here. But I'm going to say a prayer for the people on the internet and here. If you want to pray this with me, pray it with me. In fact, I'm going to ask the church to pray it with me and say, Father God, today, send your Holy Spirit. Come and live in my body and give me the strength I need and give me the help I need to start following Jesus. For today I declare that my life no longer belongs to me. It belongs to God. Let the journey begin in Jesus' name. Amen, amen. Love you. Be careful.
you for listening. We pray that this message has ministered to your heart. If you don't already have a church you call home, we invite you to join us at Valley Bible Fellowship for worship, Bible study, fellowship, and more. We're at 2300 East Brundage Lane in Bakersfield, California, near Mount Vernon and Freeway 58. Reach us by phone at 661-325-2251 or visit our website at vbf.org. Here is our King. Here is